Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Continental Extreme Contact DWS 06 Plus. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
The volume.
The NBA season is in full swing, and when I can't get enough of the action on the court, I spice things up betting on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Right now, new customers bet $5 and get $150 instantly in bonus bets. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code JOHN, J-O-H-N. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code JOHN. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What is going on, everybody? John Middlecoff, 3 and Out Podcast. Good day, everybody. How are we doing? Here's the plan. Today, we're going to do a little football talk, some thoughts on the draft, because we do that every single day leading up to the draft. We had a star player get a DUI, and I think it's kind of representative of just why picking players is so difficult. Caitlin Clark, a lot of controversy over the last couple days. A lot of haters, I would say. I wanted to react to some of the reaction, because it's so stupid to me. We will do a little Middlecoff mailbag as well. At John Middlecoff is the Instagram. Fire in those DMs. Here's the plan this week. I'm going to go football pod today. I'm talking on Tuesday to Hunter Mahan, longtime PGA Tour player, won several times on tour, played in the Masters a bunch. I think he has several top 10s in the Masters. I got to look this up before I talk to him. I think he even finished top 5 once. So talk to him about playing in the tournament, what's it like, what to look for from a gambling perspective, how I should approach it. So we will have a Masters preview with Mahan on Wednesday. And then I'm not quite sure how the rest of the week will play out. Obviously, I'm going to watch a lot of Masters Thursday, Friday, but we'll probably have another football pod as well. So pedal to the metal. Appreciate everyone listening, sharing the pod. You guys know the drill. Subscribe to 3 and Out. We got a YouTube page as well. All of our content is up there. We're coming down the home stretch. The draft is right around the corner. Most of these NFL teams start meetings this week, really set that draft board, and some of these crazy plans come to fruition. So buckle up And we're just really 2.5 weeks away. We got this week, next week, and then that following week with the drafts on Thursday. So very, very exciting time. This is a great week. I'm recording this before the national championship, the Masters, the draft. You got to love April. You really do. But before we dive into, obviously, some football, you know I got to tell you about my friends, my close personal partners, and the official ticketing app of this podcast, Game Time. Grab your smartphone, grab your iPad, grab wherever you download your apps, and download the Game Time app. Do you want to go to something fun? Whether that's a concert, go watch a little music. Whether it's a comedy show, do a little laughing. Whether it's a game. The NBA playoffs, right around the corner. NHL playoffs, right around the corner. Major League Baseball, off and running. Get yourself to a game and do it on us. Download the Game Time app. When you buy your first pair of tickets, use the promo code JOHN, J-O-H-N, J-O-H-N, and save $20. Very, very easy to do. Just trying to save you a little money in these inflationary times. No big deal. I don't even need a thank you. Just download that Game Time app, promo code JOHN, do something fun, and do it with our discount. Appreciate everyone that's using it. Keep hammering that promo code. One thing around the draft that I am always very leery of and throw a big red flag over is when someone goes 100%. It's one thing if you're the first or second drafting team, right? So-and-so team is going to take Caleb Williams. At number two, they're going to take Nick Bosa. It's like, okay, I totally. My mom can figure that out. When you start getting farther down the draft and you go, this team will do whatever it takes to get this player, I go two things. One, you have a very leaky front office, and that is not a way to run a draft room. Or two, you're throwing out a lot of bullshit to throw people off the scent. And I think Minnesota, you got to look at all their moves, right? They had Kirk Cousins, who I think a lot of people go, they let him walk. He did tear his Achilles, and he wanted a lot of money. Now, they had been thinking about it last year when they had offered the 49ers, and the 49ers didn't want the trade because they trusted that Brock Purdy could come back, but they clearly were open to moving on from Cousins a year before. So it had been on top of mind, probably an easy decision once he tears his Achilles, even though they went back and forth with his agent. But everybody and their mother just goes, the Minnesota Vikings want J.J. McCarthy. I even saw Rick Spielman, who was on this podcast, said, I don't know where he said it, but he basically said that I expect them to do a dramatic overpay to get J.J. McCarthy. If you told me right now that Adam Peters in Washington, and Colin believes they're going to take Jaden Daniels, I was told Drake May, I don't know, I'm expecting them to take one of those two guys. I honestly don't really give a shit. I just hope whoever they draft is good and the team's entertaining. I don't really have a dog, you know, a horse in this race. I don't care that much. In terms of, like, I don't have a strong opinion on either guys. I'd be nervous drafting either. But you got to pick one or the other. And they're eventually going to pick one or the other. But they're also drafting two. So, beside Caleb Williams, they have the pick of the litter. Minnesota currently is at 11. So, if they want to dive into the big-time quarterback market, they got to trade up really, really high. Why would you want all these other teams that could theoretically also like J.J. McCarthy to know you love them? What if it's trying to throw everybody off the scent of the guy that they actually like? I'm not saying that's what they're doing, but it would be terrible business when it is dramatically out of your control. One, you need teams not only willing to trade, but willing to accept your offer for a trade and willing to move down a lot, right? Even the Cardinals are a good example. Monty Ossenfort, when he gave his press conference a couple weeks ago, before the owners' meetings, we are open for business. Come trade. There's a difference between we're open for business and we're willing to move back a ton of spots. What if I go from 4 to 6, get the player I wanted all along at 4, and add a second-round pick? I'm not even saying the Giants are willing to make that trade, but I'm open to everything if I'm the Cardinal guy, right? So when I see that they're in love with J.J. McCarthy, I just hesitate to truly believe that. You know, I said this all along with Mac Jones and the 49ers. I believed Kyle Shanahan liked Mac Jones, but anyone with a brain had to be in his ear like, you can't take a guy with this limited of a skill set at number 3 overall. Now, they ultimately drafted a guy who's even worse than Mac Jones, but totally understand why they took a huge swing, right? Mac Jones, you draft a guy like Mac Jones or Kenny Pickett in the top five, you are completely fucked if it doesn't work out. They're great examples. Both of them. Not on the team a couple years later. I just think, what if Minnesota really likes another player? And honestly, if you're them, Albert Breer wrote today that Michael Penix is a guy, and he said this, he kind of was careful the way he worded this, is moving up draft boards. Because you don't, at this time, move up draft boards. You don't go from like a third rounder to a first rounder over the last month. But if you're a guy that people view as like, yeah, we could see you in the first round. Then I see you at your pro day. I take you out to dinner. I have you invite you on a 30 visit. We spend all day with you. And we go, holy shit, that guy is really, really impressive. Because these guys have been making the rounds. And when you're a quarterback, the standard is so high for when you make a team's visit, right? You're meeting not just with the head coach, the coordinators, the general managers, the executives, with the owner. You kind of need universal sign-off when you make that visit. Now, historically, tends to be a little, you know, pretty high-level group of people playing that position. But what if you're Minnesota? Would you rather just sit at 11, take Penix, and then use that other pick, I don't know, on a player? Or would you take 11, 23, and next year's one to try to move up into the top five to get a guy who's kind of, let's face it, his ceiling is a stronger-armed Alex Smith? So I hesitate to write in Sharpie Minnesota is going to mortgage the farm for this specific player. Because if that is true, I'd argue even if they pull it off, it was pretty reckless to kind of let everyone know. And maybe it's just as simple as everyone put, you know, the pieces to the puzzle together. But you don't, you can't put the pieces of the puzzle together without some of those pieces leaking out of the operation. Even Kyle Shanahan admitted, yeah, I really like Mac Jones. And obviously that was being leaked out before that draft. That's why a lot of people had mocked and said that Mac Jones was going to be his pick. Because you couldn't keep your mouth shut. And I think anytime around this year, you got to be very careful about telling people what you are inclined to do. Like, it's not hard to go, yeah, the Chargers probably could use a wide receiver, right? That's probably a position that if they get stuck at five, not crazy to think who they should draft. But I think it's healthy that, I don't know, out of the three guys, let's say all three of them are on the board, and I tell you right now, 100% locked, the Chargers are going to pick a wide receiver. It's not crazy if they picked one of the three. Like, if I told you they picked Rome Odunze, it'd be like, whoa! But ultimately, it's not that nuts. Obviously, if they picked one of the other two guys, Neighbors or Marvin Harrison, totally, you know, we can envision that. But I shouldn't have an idea of, like, they love this guy. And if you do, at least through the media, always question that. Because around this time of year, you want teams to try to make moves believing you're doing something when you're actually never going to do that. So I have Minnesota as just like, I struggle to just assume everything we're reading and hearing is the way it's going to go. One, they have like a Wall Street guy running their operation, and this should kind of be his cup of tea, right? Working the media, leaking things out. So just keep an eye on that group trying to keep people off the scent. Someone who didn't keep anyone off the scent was Texas star defensive tackle Tavondre Sweat, who is 6'4", 366 pounds. Lance Zierlein, whose father coached in the NFL forever, you've probably seen him on Colin's show, follow him on social media, writes all these player profiles for NFL.com. He compared Sweat to Vita Vea and Sam Adams. So basically a championship level 360-pound defensive tackle. This guy, I don't want to call him an elite prospect, but he's a high-end prospect. Well, on Sunday at around 2 p.m., he got a Dewey. And listen, Florio can write some off-the-wall shit on Pro Football Talk, but he's not crazy in the sense of, one, to get a DUI when you're over 21 to register above a .08 depends on how big you are to register that, right? Me at 185 pounds is probably a different amount of alcohol than a guy weighing 366 pounds. And Colin and I talked about this, the challenge of these draft meetings and trying to figure out who's who. To me, the biggest question mark is,
You were drunk in the middle of the day on a Sunday when the draft is a couple weeks away? Like, not an ideal thing. I'm not expecting you to be in the gym or to be in the sauna or out running wind sprints on a fucking mountain, but like you just slamming booze on Sunday and then getting behind a car, like, or behind the wheel, probably not the smartest thing. And now I have to question your judgment. Can I draft you in the top 40? Because I was thinking about this today. It's like, well, maybe this guy falls out of the first round. So if I'm a team, instead of drafting him at 22, now I'm cool with drafting him at 38, right? Obviously, there is less financial investment when you draft a guy in the second round than when you draft a guy in the first round. But you're still inheriting the human being. So just because you get a guy at 19 that he fell because he got a DUI at 40 doesn't change the person. Now, we've seen guys get DUIs before the draft. Happened to a very famous quarterback whose name is Dakota Prescott of the Dallas Cowboys. And I would say universally, we might disagree on the play, how good he is. Is he a top 10 guy? Is he the 15th guy? Is he overpaid? Is he underpaid? Whatever with Dak, no one disputes one of the highest character guys in the league for a long time. So you can get a DUI. It'd be disingenuous of us all to go, there are times in our lives when we could have got Dewey's. So I'm not here to pass judgment like this guy's a complete scumbag or this is a one-off. I have no clue. All I know as a GM, though, I have to now question this guy. And this is what makes this time of year so difficult. You are not dealing with just an Excel spreadsheet. I'm buying said business that generates $13 million a year and projects over the next 5 years to go up 20% based on the previous 3 years, right? And based on the improvement of technology, could jump up 50%. It's very black and white. Anytime you deal with human beings, anytime you deal with young men, you have fucking major wild cards. And now when you factor in stuff like this, an incident that, let's face it, is not an ideal situation before, I don't know, one of the biggest days of your professional life, the NFL draft, if you're a prospect, it just leaves a lot more questions than answers. Because as Florio wrote, now you just ask questions like, can I trust you? How do I know you won't do this again? Guy got a drinking problem. Is this guy a bad decision maker? Because one thing, texting around a little bit about Rashee Rice, is like, yeah, not a bad guy, just hangs out. I had an executive tell me, one of our college guys wrote up, hangs out with a lot of dipshits. Can you imagine, like, hey, we're going to draft this guy high. We don't really love his crew, right? Not a terrible guy, means well. The crew around, bunch of losers. Which, let's face it, we all know people that hang out with some losers. It's another thing when you're a highly drafted player in the NFL. Clearly, like, Rashee Rice wasn't racing himself. I'm not trying to absolve him of any responsibility. Clearly, he admitted to driving the car, left the scene. I think we all can guess. You leave the scene. One, you might be freaking out. And two, might be intoxicated. Can't get a DUI if you're not there to fucking register on the BAC, right? Or you're high out of your mind, which they found like a shitload of weed in the car. But you question, these are the conversations that are happening. The decision making, who he's hanging around with, who's influencing him. Like, you can't, at the end of the day, you can try to help a guy out, but it's ultimately on him who he wants to be around, who he wants to spend time with, especially in the off season. Right? I don't care. Think about Rashee Rice. Can't have a better infrastructure than you have with Kansas City. Elite coach, guy that cares about you. Elite, high-level teammates, people that do the right thing, conduct their lives the right way, and Mahomes and Kelsey in terms of staying out of trouble, working hard. Then the offseason hits. Hell, this guy is getting ready for the draft, probably had a couple days off, kicking it with his boys, having a few pops, right? And who am I to judge? I was pretty blitzed on Saturday. Now, you could argue Saturday's a little different than Sunday, especially if he's got serious things to do on Monday, but this is what makes it so difficult. Now, I don't have an answer for you. Does this guy fall in the draft? I would assume a little, but ask yourself this. If you won't take him at 25, but you'd be cool with taking him at 35, why wouldn't you just take him at 25? Because you ultimately think that it's not that big a deal. To me, it's either like, I wouldn't touch him now for several rounds. Because if you're willing to take him high in the next round, then I really don't think he's going to drop that much. And listen, I don't have his character write-up, but this was not a great day for the prospect. That's for damn sure.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. You know what I remember about my first car? Is at the moment I got it, I wanted to improve it. Because like most 16-year-old kids, you don't exactly get a luxury automobile. So you look at it, you go, well, I need to add some speakers. I need to tint out the windows. I need to make this thing the coolest car possible so I can cruise around town with all my buddies, waving at the babes, and enjoy myself. So my favorite part of car culture when I was young was definitely the subwoofers in the back of the car. And we built the boxes from scratch, had multiple 12-inch subs, and you could hear me coming from a long, long way away. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just a job board. They help you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else. Did you know 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites? LinkedIn's the only one I use. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is constantly finding ways to make the process easier. They even just launched a feature that helps you write job descriptions, making the process even easier and quicker. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/JOHN. That's linkedin.com/JOHN to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. As I was on with Colin last night, it was reported that John Calipari is going to the University of Arkansas. It's not official yet anywhere I've seen it, but it's pretty clear that Calipari is going to be the next head coach of the Razorbacks. And I've said for a long time that obviously America, when it comes to sports, is a lot flatter than it was when I was in junior high or high school in the late 90s, early 2000s. We can literally watch every game of every sport every single day. There is not a game, if I want to watch it, I can't figure out a way to consume it. Some I might have to pay for, but I have access to it all. When I was a kid in Davis, California, our local broadcast for the NBA was the Sacramento Kings. We did not have cable in my house, probably till like 8th or 9th grade, which would have been like 98, 99. So we had five channels, essentially. ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, and this kind of local channel 31. And the local channel 31 would play the Kings games, but not every game. I think we got like a 30, 40% of them. Obviously, things are dramatically different. And I think college football, under Nick Saban, the SEC became a national product. It became very, very cool. I've said many times, I know multiple kids through family, friends, people my brother works with in Northern California. I know people in the Fresno area whose kids have gone to the SEC. Ole Miss, Florida, Tennessee. Now, there might be a lot of different factors. One, easier to get into school there than some of these California schools. And two, they're more inclined and interested to make a move like that. Because when I was in high school, I didn't know a soul that left like the West Coast
unless you got like the smartest kid at the school went to an Ivy League school. But the farthest someone would go would be like Oregon, Arizona, an occasional athlete in Northern California. DJ Williams, if you remember, from De La Salle, went to Miami. You know, Tom Brady went to Michigan. Very few and far between. Now it is much easier, and I think this is the flattening of our country with television, social media. It just doesn't feel as crazy. But what Nick Saban did for the SEC is like what Michael Jordan did for basketball, or what Peyton and Brady, and kind of over the last 20 years, the NFL, those guys did for the NFL. It made the sport not just cool, but a massive, massive cash cow. Now, obviously, in that region, it's always been huge. Alabama football, always been big in Alabama. LSU football has always been big in Louisiana and the South. Georgia, Florida. I'm not trying to diminish the power in the South. I'm talking about the power nationally. And the money that has come because of football has bled through the rest of the sports. I follow golf pretty closely. If you're going to follow professional golf, you got to keep an eye on amateur golf. And I know people in the golfing industry. And the one thing you've consistently heard is like the SEC programs, they fly private. Google the top 25 in baseball. It's littered with the SEC teams. All these college basketball programs in the SEC, Nate Oates makes like $7 million. Alabama had never even been to the Elite Eight before this year. The money has all filtered in because of football. Now, Arkansas and some of these programs have big money boosters. Walmart, Tyson Foods, Jerry Jones. But next year, all these football programs in the SEC, whether you're the worst program or whether you're Alabama or Georgia, are going to generate over $70 million per program. What do you think that number is going to be in 4 or 5 years? You think football is going to become more or less popular? So when I see Arkansas hire John Calipari, one, it's a lot easier to throw money around now because of the money that you know is guaranteed to come in because of your football program. And let's face it, Arkansas football hasn't even been good for a while. But I just think that we are going to see the expansion and the separation. I mean, we've already seen it, but Texas and Oklahoma are in the SEC. Oregon, Washington, USC, and UCLA are in the Big Ten. It's hard for me to take seriously these other two conferences. And the other two conferences, like Deion Sanders is going to be a big deal, especially if Colorado is better this year. Florida State is a powerhouse program. So is Clemson. It's going to feel a little minor league, though, when they're playing these random fucking teams. Every week in the Big Ten, it's going to be Oregon, Wisconsin, Washington, Michigan, you know, Ohio State, USC. Even if UCLA is average, the brand is pretty big. And obviously the SEC, it's like, oh, LSU, Texas this week, Oklahoma, Florida, you know, Ole Miss, Alabama. So we've seen the ratings skyrocket. Women's basketball ratings skyrocketed simply because you had to watch. It was a really big deal. Whether you'd ever watched women's basketball before, let's face it, most of us had not, or whether you're a diehard, people tuned in because it was a big event. And that is what these two conferences, but the SEC has really become this over the last decade. And Texas and Oklahoma is only going to add to this. Oregon, Washington, USC is only going to add to that with the Big Ten. So the separation has only started. And I've been saying for a while, and I don't even have a problem with it. If you don't think, and they're going to keep rewriting these rules for the playoffs, that 9 teams are going to be from these two conferences, you're out of your mind. So John Calipari, one of the great salesmen and bullshit artists we've ever seen. I'll defend him in the sense that college basketball is a little weird, right? You can have an excellent season. You can go 26-6, and then you just play like shit in the first round, and some dude from Oakland hits 10 threes. Now, should you lose to Oakland? Of course not. If this was the NBA and they played a 7-game series, I would imagine Kentucky wins in 5 games 99% of the time. So, like, that's part of March Madness. Guys get bounced. We've seen Virginia got bounced to the number 1 seed. Purdue got bounced. Kansas has been bounced. Like, shit happens. Now, you can argue it's been happening a lot with them, but I've always, and I told this to Colin the other day, if you hang your hat on saying, well, my guys have accumulated 300 $3.5 billion worth of NBA salaries. It's like, bro, John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, Anthony Davis, they were going to make so much money whether they ever met John Calipari or they had played for John Middlecoff. It did not matter. So, like, if that's what you're hanging your hat on, like, come on, man. Let's get a different line. But if I'm an Arkansas fan, I'm pretty excited. Let's end with a little tangent Tuesday. I try to stay away from reacting to the reaction, though sometimes it's impossible not to. And obviously, if you're on social media, you saw all these famous former collegiate women's basketball players. It felt like kind of talking shit about Caitlin Clark. And let's face it, it felt a lot like jealousy. And I think a big reason why is because, like, Diana Taurasi or whoever that chick is that claims that none of us had ever heard of, that Caitlin Clark doesn't actually own the scoring record because she played when there's no three-point line. Like, I got news for you. None of us give a shit. None of us care. I think what really bothers them is none of them could get me to watch. And when I say me, I mean you. And I mean all of us. Because the majority of people that have been paying attention to Caitlin Clark these last 2 years don't watch women's college basketball. Have never tuned into this tournament. She got us to, for whatever reason. And the reason is stardom. The reason is because it felt like you had to watch. It's not that deep. When I see some of these shows going on, these like deep societal rants, it's like, yeah, I'm just watching because she's cool. Because she's sweet. Because she's fun. Same reason I watched Steph Curry at Davidson. Same reason I paid attention to Tiger Woods in 1997. This is fucking sports. It's not that complicated. When you're fun, when it feels like a lot of people are talking about it, you want to check it out. Why do a lot of us check out shows? Because your buddy told you about it. Because you talked to a couple people at work about it. Because a couple people at school told you about it. Like, fuck, check this out. Well, three people told me about it. I'm going to check it out. Well, it's no different in sports, right? Especially something that not a lot of people pay attention to. Colin and I talked about UFC the other day. I wouldn't call myself some big UFC guy, but I remember when it really caught on fire, like Chuck Liddell was one of those people that kind of transcended and got casual people to tune it on. A lot like Conor McGregor, just like in boxing, once upon a time, Mike Tyson. A lot of people that watch Mike Tyson don't watch, you know, Max Kellerman and Chris Mannix break down Friday night fights all the time, right? But when it gets big enough, we kind of, okay, we'll change the channel to it. And that's what she was. And then when you watched her, it didn't disappoint. I mean, she's making passes like fucking Pistol Pete Maravich, hitting fadeaway threes like she's Steph Curry. It was fun. It was enjoyable. I almost put a lot of money on her to win the national championship. Thank God I did not. Because it was pretty clear South Carolina's a better team. But she was the story. She was the reason we all paid attention. And that obviously bothers some people in the industry. And I thought Frank Isola on Twitter said it pretty well. Like, all these people are morons. She's the golden goose. And a rising tide lifts all boats. Whether you like her, whether you don't like her, whether you think she's overrated, who cares? If you are in the industry and you're a women's basketball player, women's fucking coach, you should be celebrating her. Because she's bringing people like me and you to the product. Then it's on you to keep us. You got us there. Isn't that half a business? Get the guy in the door. Well, if you own a restaurant and I get seven of my buddies to go there, you better make good food. I got them in the door for you. You know, you better not overcook that steak. Because if they like it, guess what? They'll come back and then they'll tell their friends. And that's what Caitlin Clark was. My neighbor a week ago was like, how incredible is this story? I didn't know she liked women's college basketball. Driving around yesterday, I saw multiple people, men and women, wearing Iowa t-shirts. Maybe those people would have watched women's college basketball no matter what. I'd guess probably not. And I think it's really, I have no clue if she's going to be some great WNBA player. Honestly, I don't even care. But I'll tell you this, at least the first year, I'll pay attention. I'll keep an eye. How many points is she averaging? When's she playing? Oh, she's on TV? I might watch a quarter. I would never have done that for anyone else. There's a chance I might never do that again for anyone else. But I will for her. So if you're in the business of women's college basketball, not only should you embrace her, you should double the fuck down on her. Because people like her in any industry are what creates progress and what creates money, what creates interest. So what an incredible story. And props to Caitlin Clark for dragging a team that, let's face it, probably not that great, pretty damn far.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. You know what I remember about my first car? Is that the moment I got it, I wanted to improve it. Because like most 16-year-old kids, you don't exactly get a luxury automobile. So you look at it, you go, well, I need to add some speakers. I need to tint out the windows. I need to make this thing the coolest car possible so I can cruise around town with all my buddies, waving at the babes, and enjoy myself. So my favorite part of car culture when I was young was definitely the subwoofers in the back of the car. And we built the boxes from scratch, had multiple 12-inch subs, and you could hear me coming from a long, long way away. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Okay, Middlecoff mailbag. You guys know the drill. Hop in to the DMs at John Middlecoff. At John Middlecoff is the Instagram. DMs wide open. This, I kind of a Fugazi Friday, but it's he listed it as that, but it's an NFL, really a statement. Owners of NFL teams need to foot more of the bill when it comes to stadium builds or renovations. Speaking about Clark Hunt, we've all read the Chiefs are in a dispute stemming from a vote that the Jackson County voters vetoed. I agree wholeheartedly with their decision to vote that way, especially when you have a little backstory on the team. Lamar bought the team for $25,000. His son now owns the franchise worth $4.3 billion. That's a whopping like 17% high. Their current lease is for $1.1 million per year and had $540 in revenue for the 22 season. There's a lot. Listen, my ultimate take, and I think we talked about it last time, was I have no problem when it comes to a team trying to get the taxpayer to pay for their stuff. And it's on the individuals to vote how they feel. And if they vote no, then vote no. Like, I don't feel bad that they voted no. Just like I don't feel bad, or I don't even care that much when these teams try to use the tax bill to help fund their stuff. Because every human being in business would rather have someone else pay for it than themselves. Now, it's easier to get shit done when you're not cheap. I saw Joe Lacob accomplish one of the greatest feats in American business history. He got a stadium built in fucking San Francisco which is absolutely impossible to get anything done there. But he self-financed it. He never would have got it done anywhere else. That also puts, you know, an abnormal amount of pressure on him to keep the team good and make a lot of money. And let's face it, Clark's a little cheap. So, of course, he was going to go try to go that route. But in 2024, historic inflation, the average guy, and let's face it, it is Chiefs diehard country, isn't, and I don't know the details of the tax, but is not going to be cool like doing that. Not in these economic times of when everything's really expensive. So, got no problem people vetoing it. And it's on them to figure it out. But, like, I don't think he's going to stop trying to utilize taxpayer money. And I think I talked about this last week. Isn't, like, they don't own the stadium. So, the city also benefits from it. That's where I think it can kind of become convoluted. If I use taxpayer money to pay for my stadium, and then I get to own the stadium free and clear, like, something's kind of fucked up there. But if I use taxpayer money and then we split the revenues, we're kind of partners in the venture, right? That's how I think Vegas is operating. I know that's how the 49ers operate. Now, it gets more complicated when you're in business with these politicians, but if the city or the county benefits, I think you got to do it. And again, I don't know all the finances in terms of, like, if Taylor Swift comes to Kansas City, who keeps the gate? Heard some NBA season layout chat and wanted to give my 2 cents on how to fix their problems. Play every team 3 times. 87 games, forget the preseason. Players don't even play. Reduce playoff teams from 14 to the top 14 teams. 3 games played should make easy math. Forget conferences. They were just made for sports leagues when all they could afford were bus and teams were 3,000 miles apart. Make the top 2 seeds receive a bye, and the first round is like a wild card best of 3. There is no urgency in the NBA, and urgency drives ratings. No one is going to watch a game if they feel like the outcome bears no weight, and that's the NBA problem. Nobody cares. The in-season tournament was a good idea, but they did it wrong. It should not count for your regular season record and should have a larger financial reward, allowing teams in the subsidiary league, like the G League, participate. I think the number one key to sports in this modern, in the times we're living in, is things have to feel important. We just have too many options. There's, I could find a television show on 8 different streaming platforms. If you bore me, I will change the channel. It's why, like, Caitlin Clark, it's not that complicated of a formula why she worked. There was a lot on the line. Her games mattered. The NCAA tournament with men's, I'm recording this before the national championship. I might even dabble on Purdue at, like, plus 250 underdog. But, like, the March Madness feels big, right? The Masters is this week. Why are people going to watch? Because it's the fucking Masters. Nobody watched last week. Why? Because it's the Valspar. You know? Things have to matter. It's what football is running circles around baseball and basketball because all their games feel important. Even though when you take a step back, not every game is super important, but it feels that way. And that's a huge part of society. We are spread thin because of our options, and we've never had more of them. So if you don't make your inventory matter, we're not going to watch. We're simply not going to watch. And the consumer is telling you, they're not watching. And that's a problem. And I don't expect Adam Silver to fix it because I think he's one of the most clueless commissioners we've ever seen. I'm a 25-year-old and I live in Indy. I'm very lucky to have the Colts right down the street from me, even though I'm a Steeler fan. Recently, I found a passion and wanted to work in the NFL. The problem is I have no college degree, no connections, and no money whatsoever. What advice would you give to someone with my specific situation wanting to work in the league? Is a degree really necessary? I don't have one, but I'll do anything to even put my foot in the door. If a team told me to sit in a room and watch paint dry all day, I would. Well, you're 25 years old. I mean, I would recommend probably trying to go to school. It is going to be hard to get your foot in the door because usually, obviously, non-football-wise, the way to get your foot in the door would be ticket sales, would be marketing, and they're just not hiring a guy without a degree.
whether that's right or not, and I'm not one to act like a degree is some separating factor in terms of being intelligent or being capable, but it does matter in terms of hiring. And these none of these teams are hiring people just to get their foot in the door. It's very, very difficult. And so I would just recommend big picture just for your life, just because it's probably going to be hard to get to break your foot in the door in the NFL, would be to go to school. It'll open your options. It just, I mean, statistics show. And I am not some diehard academia man here. Hey, man, been following for 2 years. Fugazi is way funnier because you're mispronouncing the word to call someone a fake. It's ironic and a fantastic inside joke. Fugazi. Diggs of the Texans isn't going to hurt the Bills. He lost his speed and the ability to separate. We have the Twin Towers, Kincaid and Knox. Shakir is a monster. Love that guy, Boise State. And waiting for targets, and Cook is ready to roll as the running back slot hybrid. If we add a wide receiver or two in the draft, we won't even remember the sideline drop against KC. What is your take? I'm picking the Bills to win the division, and I'm picking the Bills to be good again. Yeah, I mean, I don't think anything changed. I mean, think about last year. Everyone wrote them off. They were 6-6. Ended up winning, whatever, 5 straight games and winning the division. Who are you betting on in that division? I think a huge way I look at the Bills, and I still think we have a lot to learn, but you have the second-best player in the league in Josh Allen, who, unlike Lamar, is proven to be a good player in the playoffs. You have ownership over the division. The division is... Like, you can make fun of Belichick all you want. Going from Belichick to Gerard Mayo, I got news for you, is just a downgrade. There's no way around it. Because it's not like Gerard Mayo, well, he's some young offensive play caller. No, he's a former linebacker. I mean, so it's like, who's learned everything from Bill. So, writing off the Patriots, I mean, the Jets are one of the biggest powder kegs in league history. I mean, if that thing just turns a little south, that thing could implode. And the Dolphins, I'm sorry. I'm not buying it. Never have. Never will. As long as Tua Tagovailoa is your quarterback, I'm not betting on you. So if I was a Bills fan, I would be pretty confident. Now, once you get to the playoffs, like, is your team good enough to beat the Ravens, to beat the Chiefs? That's, you know, we'll have to learn that over the course of the season, because you're going to have some guys that we're not as familiar with as starters, younger players. And just need Josh to continue being an MVP-type player. In this vein, wondering if teams have backup draft plans when a big swing like this goes awry and what typically it might look like. A trade down, stand pat. I've always liked this part of the NFL the most as a builder mentally in my jobs past and present. I love thinking or trying to think like a GM. I think what the question is asking is basically like, what if your plans don't go as planned when the draft comes? Well, if you listen to the pod I did with Veach, one thing all these teams do is your GM, your head coach, you know, your main decision makers, maybe an owner, maybe your assistant GM, go over like 10 scenarios, whether you're drafting at 5 or whether you're drafting at 25. So you basically go over every scenario, and then you're just kind of hoping to be prepared for everything. Well, if these 5 guys, we would draft one of these 5 guys. If they're all gone, what do we do? If 3 of the 5 guys are there, what do we do? What do we do if one of the guys that we really like falls 10 spots and we can trade from 30 to 18? Would we do that? You go through all these scenarios. It's just like a test. You practice and practice for the test, and you hope. Now, I didn't study that much for tests in school, but in theory, that's what you're supposed to do. Study, just read whatever you're supposed to read, go over all the, you know, the different work that was given out throughout that time, and hopefully when the test comes, you're prepared. But like most tests, there are going to be some curveballs. You either got to think on your feet, you got to take an educated guess, and I think that's a huge part of the draft. If you're drafting in the top 10, only so much crazy shit can happen. If you're like the Chiefs or the Niners, like, you got to be prepared for a lot of stuff. So it does become more challenging the farther you fall in terms of the draft pick. I'm starting my sports journalism career in college and was interested in writing a story on the mystery of Jeff George. I understand he did not attain sustained success in the NFL, But from what I see, he is one of the most physically talented quarterbacks in NFL history. Nobody seems to talk about him. What do you make of that? I'd have to look up the last year Jeff George played in the NFL. I mean, part of being on people's radar as, I don't want to call Jeff George a random player, but his last year legitimately in the NFL was 2004. So you're talking about a guy that is 56 years old, that has been out of the league for 20 years. Now, he was the number one overall pick in 1990. Obviously, it didn't go well because he only lasted 3 years on the Colts. I don't remember watching Jeff George that much as a kid, beside the way I would describe him would be like a less mobile Jay Cutler. Huge arm, kind of prickly. Didn't feel like he got along with everybody. This, we talk about this a lot in the draft, right? At the quarterback position, your character, all the guys that we're talking about going pretty high are talented, right? Clearly Caleb, but Jaden, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, Penix, like all these guys have physical skills. They all can throw the ball. But football IQ, football willingness to be a good teammate, willingness to learn, willingness to be coached, willingness to be pushed, willingness to push yourself, your desire to be great. Like that's separated a lot of guys over the years. Some guys don't have the physical capability. Some guys are just inaccurate. Nothing you can do about it, right? And then some guys just are missing something. And it does feel that he was just missing something intangibly. Love your pod. I prefer football over basketball nowadays, easy. But I'm interested on your view on basketball and the NBA. The NBA has three times as many Instagram followers as the NFL. I'm sure similar on other platforms too, have not checked. For kids, basketball is a much easier sport to pick up, be good at, and learn, similar to soccer in that way. But it still pales in viewership to the American football, which is obviously more of a niche sport that can't be properly played unless you're on the field 11 on 11. So why isn't basketball closer to what soccer is globally? Why couldn't it be? Does it all come down to poor marketing and the NBA missing an opportunity? Well, the NBA was dramatically more popular in this country a decade ago. The numbers speak for themselves. The NBA had two things, I think, that really worked against them. Tanking and load management. There are some other variables, you know, people bring in politics or whatever. But I just think specifically, teams did not try consistently. And it wasn't just one. A ton of teams tanked. And the NBA literally changed the rules to try to take it out of the game a little bit. And load management is still a major problem in the NBA. So if the talent doesn't care, why should the consumer? And this is what football has. Like, no one takes off a game if they can play. Partly because you only get so many of them. So Adam Silver, to me, is not the guy to fix the problem. He was a big reason for creating the problem. Now, it wasn't his idea to tank or load management, but he's not a disciplinarian. He's the opposite of David Stern, who easily is one of the great sport leaders of my lifetime. In the 90s, the NBA was arguably the biggest sport in America, led by Michael Jordan. And a big reason, because David Stern, the way he marketed. Now, he drove a hard line. Like, there was not, he would never have allowed this shit. And the media loves Adam Silver. Why? Nice guy, texts them all back. Very, like, it feels like pro player. It's weird. Like, the media is, like, very pro player because it feels like, you know, anti-management, anti-ownership. Which, again, you're talking, the average salary in the NBA is $8 million. You're not rooting for, like, the local 303 plumber here. Right, I mean, you got Bradley Beal making $250 million. He's average at best. So I think the NBA has a financial problem. Way too many guys get paid that are not good enough. Like, I can't be paying you $40 million a year if you're not a top 10 player. It does not add up. Or you're not with another top 10 player. There are so many guys in the NBA making an astronomical amount of money that you would send a limo to the hotel to pick them up if the game mattered. And that's another problem. The games just don't matter. So they used to feel big. I grew up watching the NBA. I just turn on some random games. They don't feel that important anymore. And I don't know how you get that back. But globally, it's the NBA by far is the best league for basketball in the world. I mean, all the top European players play here and make a shitload of money here. Jokic, Luka, Giannis. So from a global standpoint, financially, this is where and the players, like if you're a player, your salaries are, once you sign that contract, whether the television ratings are high or low, like if you're that, they don't even care. Now, it could have dramatic ramifications in the future. And like the NFL players, whether the television ratings are high or low, do I think they talk about it a lot? No. I mean, you're just trying to make as much money possible and win. So, like, it's when you're in it, the conversations we have on the outside are a lot different than. I wouldn't blame Bradley Beal for going, God, this is the best league, most popular league of all time. He's made $450 million. Hasn't won a meaningful game in 8 years. Vikings fan here, and was wondering your thoughts on which quarterback they should get. If we trade up to 3 and get J.J. McCarthy, I might lose my mind. Thanks, and keep killing it. I guess when you say lose your mind, you mean like not be happy. One thing I said earlier is maybe you just stay at 11 and draft Penix. And then you use pick 23 on just another really good player. What if you do that? What if you don't trade 11, 23, next year's one to get J.J. McCarthy? And like I said, anytime that you keep hitting me over the head with this is who the team is going to draft, and that team is not drafting super high, you got to throw up a red flag, because historically that would say they're trying to throw you off the scent. They're trying to lead you down the wrong path. Almost like just to like set you up, right? So, you think everything's cool, then all of a sudden it's the Joe Pesci meme where the mobsters are right behind him and they're killing him. Right, a little sneak attack. So anytime things are so obvious, just your shit detector should go up. And mine definitely is. I love your takes on not only sports, but business and life. I'm a full-time chef, but also have a second job as a travel agent because I love to travel. Helping people and the secondary income is helpful in our household. You have mentioned possibly going to Costa Rica with your girlfriend, and I wanted to see if I could plan and book your vacation. My expert travel planning and booking services are 100% fee-free. I will work hard to provide you with the best vacation possible. I'm at your service. I'll just shoot you a follow-up email. Was watching your mailbag pod on YouTube and heard you mention wanting to watch the British Open in St. Andrews. I'm a student here at the University of St. Andrews, and we hosted the Open just before I arrived the first year in the summer of 2022. I remember that. A guy named Cameron Smith won. I couldn't find anything online about the next Open will be hosted by the St. Andrews, but I recommend coming to play the golf course in the old course if when you get a chance. I've always been a fan of golf, and it's a really magical experience playing the old course. I think typically they go to St. Andrews every 5 years, and it got pushed back because of obviously 2020. It got canceled, and then it got pushed back a year. So it should be either. I think maybe they'll just keep it, but the even year might be 2030. But it usually rotates every 5 years. That's why when you look at previous champions like 2000, 2005, 2010, 2015, that's when they play, which is smart. I mean, I've watched a lot of YouTubes of like Bob Does Sports and guys like that play, and it looks pretty cool. Now, I was playing golf last week in like 40-mile-an-hour winds. Playing golf in super windy conditions is not that fun. But if you are going to play golf in super windy conditions, you might as well be, at the old course drinking a pint of Guinness and having a good time.
The Volume.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash credit card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash credit card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash. Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.